a follow-up question to that. You're pretty excoriating in your criticism of the New York Times, and I'm sure that you're frustrated with a lot of the things that are written about you. But ultimately, you are pretty much dependent on the mainstream media, not only for garnering support, but also for having this vast amount of information that you're releasing parsed and put into context. Do you like the press or do you hate it?
This is a little bit like the question about whether you've stopped eating your wife. There are fine journalists still in mainstream journalism. I suspect the numbers are going down. And there is what everyone knows to be the jackal press, and that is opportunists who look to curry favor or just get a story out by destroying people. And
do you feel that's happening to you?
Our organization is no exception. That what is interesting about that is there is a strong market demand for information about us. That's not surprising. That market demand is much greater than we can fulfill, or anyone who actually knows anything can fulfill. And the people who know the most, of course, are in a position where they have to keep quiet because they need to protect sources or key aspects of our organization if spoken about, lead to very destructive attacks. So into that vacuum steps people who simply make stuff up. And so I was thinking about this. If you have a choice to make stuff up about the Pentagon, or you have a choice to make stuff up about WikiLeaks, what do you do? There's sort of a market demand for both. Which one do you go for? Well, if you make stuff up about a Titanic organization, not just the Pentagon, but giant Swiss banks as an example, which we've been sued by before, if you make stuff up about those organizations, well, then you have to deal with them. You have to deal with those Titanic abusive organizations trying to attack you as a result of your work. If you make stuff up about activist organizations, if you make stuff up about dissidents and lone heroes, and certainly that happened in Daniel Ellsberg's case, who's going to attack you? WikiLeaks is going to attack you. WikiLeaks is busy dealing with tremendous attacks of its own. So it's very easy. You get on the side of the big powerful organization. You don't need to fact check when you're writing about less powerful organizations, because, hey, what's the free press vanguard going to do? Sue you for libel?
Go ahead. Question.
My name is Alexandra, and I guess the question is to both of you. I saw a very interesting BBC documentary the other day about the origins of the internet and the way that it was founded in order to effectively create a virtual community that's free without hierarchies and really spread information and, I guess, the perpetuation of information to the masses, where there aren't the kind of, you know, where information isn't handed down from those who know, but it's actually built up from the people. And in terms of the leaks, I guess, that come, I'm wondering, particularly as to your comment, Julian, regarding you're not concerned about balance, you're concerned about accuracy, and perhaps insofar as it extends to your experience as well. Is it not a consideration that truth must come in context? Because the truth is such a broad term, and it almost seems that the interest in perhaps in WikiLeaks and leaks of other sorts is that they challenge what, say, an institution says, but nonetheless everything should be taken in context, if that makes sense.
Well, they're incomplete. I think you would admit there are many millions more documents that you haven't published. Let's ask you, Mr. Ellsberg, is the truth as distorted by WikiLeaks as if there hadn't been WikiLeaks? In other words, an incomplete bunch of documents in the public domain can do just as much damage as none.